Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Sansa 6 of A Game of Thrones, and in the Maester's Study, we will be discussing Maegor's Holdfast.
Mm-hmm. But first we need to start the episode with Raven.
Yeah.
We got an anonymous Raven that simply says, you suck. So... to that person, hey, thanks. We appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, touche,
yeah. Fella.
That's hysterical. Yeah. So yeah, we haven't started off with a Raven at the top of the show. That was a good one. That was the best. That was good. If we could get less of those, though, I'd appreciate it.
I'd appreciate it. But you know what, though, Sir Ez, it gets me fired up. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just gonna say it. I wish other podcasts good fortune in the podcasting wars to come.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because, my friend, we're in a war. We're in a war.
It's true.
Yep.
There's a lot of things being said on the internet about all kinds of different fandoms. And you know what? I'm just going to say it.
Go ahead.
I've rewatched season 8, and I think it's great.
Okay. You like it. Yeah. You enjoy it.
I do.
Back off, people.
All yeah. Right. Winds of winter's coming. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just where I'm at. I'm feeling great.
Well, I think it's great. And here's the thing. There's a Clash of Podcasts coming, right? So we've got a Clash of Kings coming up, but there's also a major clash to be had. And so hold fast, my friends. Hold up, maybe in Maegor's hold fast, because we're fired up. I mean, like, we're fired up to start the new book. We're wrapping up here with Game of Thrones next couple weeks, and there's parts of the season I like. So get out of the way, okay? Get out of the way. We're just gonna enjoy it. We got the prequels coming up. We have a great, big, beautiful year ahead of us, and I'm just excited to. I don't know, man. Something happened to us, as you guys can sometimes tell, right? Things happen off the air, and we're just like,
it's true. Well, okay. Here's how my day started. Let me just give a quick little story here. Okay.
Okay.
So a couple of days ago, we did get an actual Raven from a guy named Christopher Wallace. Okay, and I want to give him a shout out because he sent me this, and I'm not entirely sure. I'm just seeing this whole thing going on Twitter right now. Okay, you know, a couple weeks ago, Ez and I were having the debate, you know, that has nothing to do with Game of Thrones, about Coke versus Pepsi, you know, and everyone has their favorites. But right now, it seems like USA Today is running some poll, okay?
Yeah.
About what is the best chicken sandwich. And Christopher Wallace sent us this Raven. He said, "What's up, Sir Matt and Sir Ezra? I just tried the new Popeye sandwich and want to say that I have been food baptized. My eyes have been opened and I am looking at life like never before. I remember when you guys used to make videos and podcasts about new Taco Bell items, and I thought it would be funny if you guys did a review of it. Great podcast, guys. Keep up the amazing work." I sent him back one and said, I'm sure we can try to weave that in at some point. Unfortunately, Sir Ezra has less access to one than I do, because I live literally next door to one. I said, I've never actually had Popeye's chicken. What sandwich is it? P.S. I'm a Raising Cane's guy myself.
Oh, yeah.
He said it's the new spicy classic sandwich, and they know what you're talking about. I said, by the way, you guys made it, me get really serious about A Song of Ice and Fire. I'm halfway through A Clash of Kings now, and hopefully we'll finish before Winds of Winter comes out. I think you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Love the content. Appreciate the effort you guys put in. So I, you know, drove in my car all like 10 seconds over to Popeye's Chicken, and I walk inside and I said, hey, do you guys have this new spicy classic sandwich? And they were like, no, it's like selling out all over the country. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I look it up, and I guess it is. It's selling it's selling out all over the country, and it's like some sort of poll that's going on, and somehow Wendy's chicken sandwich is not in the top. So all I'm going to say is that's a lie. But this Popeye's chicken sandwich was entirely out. So that's why I'm fired up. I was about to say, if one more word comes out of your cunt mouth, I'm going to have to eat every piece of chicken in this place. Okay?
Yes.
was what I about said. So I just left. I've still yet to this day to have Popeye's chicken. But Christopher Wallace, thank you for the Raven. I guess if it comes back in stock, I will do my best to get it, try it, and review it.
Yeah, that's what we used to do. That was a lot of fun. I mean, those were some of our favorite, most well-liked episodes out there, the old food reviews.
Absolutely.
So that's a crazy thing that's happening. I mean, you there's a Twitter war going on between those companies and stuff, which is hysterical. I mean, good golly. Like, if it's sold out, it has to be the best, right? I mean, Popeyes doesn't have a big supply?
I don't know. It's good. I guess this poll is going to end. It's Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A, which I have to say, I've had Chick-fil-A like once. I never thought it was anything special. I think it's also not open on Sundays. So,
yeah,
I'm not super big on Chick-fil-A, but I've never had Popeyes, so I can't say.
Well, I've had them both, and quite frankly, not impressed. Again,
I'm
a Raising Cane's guy, you know, Raising Cane's.
That's where I am.
But yeah, wow, that's crazy. There is a Popeyes. I'd have to get on my steed Lightning, and I'd have to head south quite a ways. But if we ever, I need to like call ahead now, I guess, and see if the sandwich is actually there, for crying out loud.
I just drove in the drive. You know, hey, it's not there. Drove over there.
Yeah, dude.
I
can picture you walking in. You're like, do you guys have that? They're like, no, sold out.
Yeah, they got a sign. Oh, okay. They got a sign up that says, hey, we don't have it.
Oh, that's funny. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, maybe we'll have to, if we ever get our hands on one, maybe we'll do something, a little food review for free over on Patreon, or stick it somewhere, you know, where folks can listen to it.
So,
it's a lot of
it's
a mouthful.
Thank you for the Raven. If it gets in stock, I will certainly do my best to give it a try. You know, hey, that's what some, you know, remember earlier in the year it was like Team Yanny versus Team Laurel. I don't know. Which one are you on?
Right. Yeah. God, don't bring that back up again. Those are hysterical. I really need my students to keep me up to date on that kind of stuff. There's always some new thing, and I'm surprised I haven't heard about this yet. So I'm going to go in on Monday and be like, guys, what's going on? What is going on? Why have I not? Why aren't you guys? You're letting me down, you know?
It's all over. It's all over the Twitterverse, man.
Jeez. Good God. All right, well, that's cool. That's cool. So we actually, later on, we'll have another Raven from Sir Christopher. So he's killing it right now. So we've got a really cool one that kind of ties into some of the stuff we're doing on Patreon. Just a unique Raven. We have something from him as well for Clash of Kings. So if you guys are in Clash of Kings and you're thinking about a Raven, go ahead and write that. I got a Clash of Kings folder. I'm going to start and just start putting some Ravens over there just to get ready. So should be good. Okay, Sir Matt, small counsel here. Just real quick. I know you kind of talked about how your day started. I've been over in the Citadel just kind of testing, doing things on the weekend that I don't like to do. It's supposed to be the weekend. It's supposed to be having a good time, you know, podcasting with you. But every once in a while I have to go, you know, to the academics and make sure kids know what they're supposed to be. Make sure they're learning something,
that's
I guess.
True. So, you know, we talked about it on our Star Wars podcast, Hyperspace Hangout. But we did not talk about it on Bend the Knee. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that you can actually see considering you had surgery like 2 days ago.
Yeah, man. Thank you for bringing that up, by the way. Today's the best it's been. I mean, obviously, every day it's getting better. But I left on Friday. I had LASIK surgery on Friday. And, I mean, let me tell you guys, that was a little nerve-wracking. I don't know if anybody's had it out there. You're thinking about having it. Mine went great, thankfully. I could not see. You know, it's funny, as I was laying.
Wait, hold on. I thought the point was that it was to make you see better.
Yeah, exactly. So during the procedure, it's sort of what Aria goes through, right? I kept looking up at the doctor and I kept seeing like a worm come out of his eye. I was sort of like, what the heck? I'm having this like weird, like I'm about to drink some potion and lose my eyesight and come back.
Well, what if he'd only done one eye? Then you would have done your best Beric Dondarrion impression.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I got really nervous because you're supposed to stare at this like green laser. No joke. They're shooting a laser into your eye, which is nuts. And I'm like looking at it. By the way, dude, they like press, they like suction cup your eye, like your eyelids like open so you can't blink or whatever. And they're like holding my arms down. I'm like, guys, whoa. This is starting to turn into some like after hours thing here. Like, this is some
like
weird...
Melisandre with the leeches, man.
Yeah, this is getting kind of crazy. Yeah, that's all I needed was somebody to walk out in a red robe and, you know. but anyways, it was intense. But they put that, I don't think anything actually touched my eye, but it felt like my eye popped for a second, man.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. And the doctor didn't tell you this beforehand. He's just like, all right, so you're gonna lose all sight here for a second and everything's gonna go dark. And it totally went dark, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was crazy. You had to stare at the green light, and everything was good for the one eye. The next eye, he said not to drop your chin. I must have dropped my chin a little bit, and thankfully he's like, whoa. He like puts his arm down there. He like holds my head up. He's like, all right, there we go. I'm like, what if you would have turned that machine on and my eye wasn't lined up right? You know?
I mean, are you glad you went on a Friday and not like a Monday? I mean.
Yeah. Well, I asked him beforehand. I was like, how's your marriage? Like, is everything going okay? I had an interview for him. It was crazy, but it was good. It was cool. I went home and slept.
I mean, what if you do? You're like down on the table and you're like strapped in. The doctor walks in and he's like, God, I shouldn't have drank so much last night. Then like he turns on the laser.
Yeah, what a late night. Oh my God, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night. Like, what, doc? You know, no, man. Oh yeah. So anyways, he looked alert. He looked good. He makes a killing, man. He goes in there and does like 100 of those a day. Like he does it once or twice a month. And they get everybody kind of, you know, all locked and loaded, and we come in there and we're all walking around with these sunglasses on. Looks like a freaking cult in there. It was kind of crazy. I'm serious. Like we all, it's like, here's your bag and your T-shirt, and then you've got your glasses, and it was just
here's
like,
your Kool-Aid. Here you go.
Yeah,
get that.
I was like, what? Anyways, it was nuts. But dude, you got the eye drops, man. You don't want them eyes to dry out. So I'm like hardcore putting the eye drops in. You probably hear me pause during the show and, you know, doink, little drop goes in. But anyways, it's cool. All is well. And I'm glad I did it, actually. I could see 2020, like straight up 2020.
So did you like get rid of your glasses? Did they not like you just toss them? Like, I don't need these anymore.
To be honest with you, I was driving back here today listening to this chapter and I thought to myself, where are my glasses? I have no clue where they're at. I don't know if they took them. I don't remember. I freaked out when I was going in there. He's like, you won't need those anymore. And he's like, just put them here. You can get them later. I don't think I ever picked him up. I was blind. I mean, I couldn't really see when I got up off the table. I was like, you know, your eyes are covered with bandages and stuff, and so you're like walking.
So now you can wear like sunglasses because you've never really been one to wear sunglasses.
Well, that was the thing too. I walked out and I think I was down seeing my buddy Lane yesterday, and I was inside the kitchen. Always had the glasses on, but you know, you walk inside, you put them up on your head, right? I forgot where they were. Walked back outside, and I was like. Smeagol out in the sunlight. I was like, you know, no, my brain. I was like freaking out, you know. I couldn't see. It was nuts. It was crazy. But anyways, all is well. Like the halos around the lights are gone, so I can finally see. So, you know, nice. We're good.
Well, hey man, that's good. That's good to hear. You know, if you have been blind, at least there's audiobooks. Okay, you'd still be okay.
Yeah.
We'd figure it out.
Right. I can just press record. You can do the editing. It'll be fine.
Right. That'll be fine.
We're good. So.
Nice.
All right. Wow. So, What else we got? Okay, we got anything else? Any other updates there before we move on?
No,
okay.
Man. Hey, you know, I'm looking at the clock. I was like, wow, we just talked, you know, a little longer small council today. So Ezra and I are about to record two episodes back to back because I'm going on vacation next weekend. So we're strapped and loaded for, you know, about 2 to 3 hours plus of recording time.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, here's the thing. I've heard people say, and I know sometimes, you know, people are like, just get to the chapter, get to the whatever. But I don't know. I've heard the opposite too. People want to catch up. They want to talk.
I know.
I almost thought.
I was almost thinking, we could just do both chapters, as one big episode. But that might be confusing, and then, you know, mess up the queue. So
yeah. Well, and then if we don't, you know. I mean, we don't want somebody binging all of our stuff 1 week and then have nothing next week. I mean, then they'll start looking for somebody else.
Then the podcasting wars.
Yeah, they start all over again.
We can't have that. So.
But anyways, let's move in here to the captain's report, though, real quick. So Lord Robert the Unfrozen, he's at it again. We're talking about who is Aegon, slash Young Griff here in Dance of Dragons. I had a couple options here. Let me see if I still have it pulled up here. I don't have it pulled up. It was a Blackfyre, right? That was one of the options. Let me see.
Yeah, it was a Blackfyre, Rhaegar, and Elia's actual son. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just like, some random Essos person. And the last time I looked at it, I haven't looked at it lately, but Rhaegar and Elia's actual son was the most sought of answer. That's what most people were actually saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Son of Rhaegar.
Yeah. Right
Elia.
Here. Yeah. Right here is it's 21 people voted saying son of Rhaegar and Elia. The next was 19 people, a Blackfyre descendant.
Right. Right.
So those are the two actual most common what people in our group are thinking there. Which, man, if he is the actual son, that means there's going to be a lot of differences, I think.
Yeah, a lot more drama, for sure. So, yeah, yes. I don't know if we skipped over one or if I did this on accident, but we talked about the perfumed seneschal, right? Like Quaithe and the warning. Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think so. Nope,
I can't remember if we did or not. So just while we're on that, you know, it's the warning that Quaithe gives to Dany. And I think I've done amusing, or I was planning to do amusing on this, wondering who that individual was. Is it Reznak? Is it Kohar? Is it Illyrio? Is it Varys? And it seems like Varys is and we have the top vote there being plus 16 on that. Reznik ends up being 7. So yeah, got some cool stuff there. Marwyn the Mage gets a mention. So that's pretty neat. But that's a cool little, if you want to, is that next book? When we get into it is Quaithe, right? And everything everything that shakes down with her. So we'll go into more depth on that. I've got a couple thoughts, and I've got my Green Dream manifesto where I've been pulling every reference to, you know, the word perfumed, you know, and I've been, it's wild. It got kind of crazy. Once I learned about a search of Ice and Fire, you can get lost. You can get lost searching for just, you know, specific words. Sir Matt is still searching bells throughout the.
Oh, you better believe it.
Series. So get ready for that. But anyways, yeah. Huge shout out to our Captain of the Guard there. Lord Robert, really appreciate it. Always.
Yeah. I'm looking through the group here, which I don't get to do as often as I would like. And I do really appreciate everyone that is, all of our listeners that have kind of taken over the group and really run it. There's a fantasy football league. There's like a fantasy football league inside our group. That's great. Feel really bad for whoever drafted Andrew Luck. Sorry about that. you know, but.
Yeah, people were burning their jerseys the other day, weren't they?
I know. I was jokingly considering retiring mid-show.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just the mental strain, right? Or the strain on the vocal cords.
You know,
can't take it.
Can't do it anymore, man.
Oh, my gosh. So, hey, we have someone else here. We have a new member, Tara Herman, looks like. The sick tattoo, by the way. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in our group that are getting Game of Thrones or you know, Song of Ice and Fire tattoos.
They're getting tatted up, man. Should we get tatted up? Like, what's the deal?
I don't know, man. I'm not really a tattoo kind of a
Guys, can we pressure Sir
if you
Matt?
Were to get a if you were to get a Game of Thrones tattoo, who would you get it of? Or ooh, what would you get it of?
What would you get it of? Ooh, that's a great question. Wow. I don't know, man. I don't think mine would be like the I wouldn't do anything obvious. It'd have to be something subtle. Why you put me on the spot? Because I wouldn't do like a direwolf or anything like that. I would want it to be. I don't know, man. Maybe like my favorite. I don't know. I wish you good fortune in the wars to come. You know, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, House Dane is cool, right? Something.
Right. Maybe I'd get the words "Sir Ellen, bring me his head" on my back.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh man. Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be cool. That's a good one. I don't know. I'm not a big tattoo guy either. So
yeah,
I've thought about getting a Star Wars tattoo. I've thought about getting something else. It's gotta have some solid meaning. So
right.
I don't know. But Liam's still killing it in there. Peter of House Whittingham, he's in there with the memes going crazy. So we got some real good activity. Your brother's still running wild. He's almost like. I feel like Nick, when I see some of the memes that are taking place, some of them almost cross the line to the point where I want to pull like an Eddard Stark and, you know, in like, command.
You might need to scale this back a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's like I want to issue that order, like, you know, bring me his head. I mean, Nick's like, what? We got to have Nick on the show soon. Got to have Nick on the show. Oh, and speaking of that, I actually have a couple cool surprises. I told Sir Matt about this. Within the next month or two, maybe to finish up. Actually, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pre-record these, and we're going to have some fun little hidden gems, if you will, to start a Clash of Kings, because we've been thinking about how to up the game a little bit there. And so I've reached out to a few people, and I think we're going to have a cool little segment we might be developing. So stay tuned for that.
So yep. And the only other kind of news kind of thing going on is Sir Ezra has we ordered pins. Those are going along with kind of the sticker set, which is also been ordered, and so as soon as those get to Sir Ezra's house, those are getting mailed out, so you should definitely be expecting those here in the next
guys,
next couple weeks. So you really appreciate the patience. Yeah, we had some people push back, be like, weren't these supposed to be out in July? We're like, yes. But...
Okay, can I go ahead and tell them what happened? I'm going to say this. We may or may not have actually legitimately, and when I say lost our artist, they may have actually passed away. We don't actually know, so
we don't know.
Yeah, we got to look into that. We don't know that. We just know them virtually, really. But we mm-hmm. have a strong back and forth dialogue, and all
but been working we've been working with that artist for literally years.
Yeah.
Literally years, and then it was like we actually had like two open orders in, and normally our artist, who's great, has responded like within days, like, hey, here you go,
right?
Super
concerned,
always gives us a discount, and like,
yeah,
does amazing work, and like had an open order, like, yeah, I'll get on that, and then haven't heard a word from them in months.
Well, let me put this out there, because I've never done this, so because other people knew we had an artist, so we got something that I think is pretty cool, and it kind of went along with some of the stuff we were doing for Hyperspace, so it worked out, and we're going to get that to you guys, plus a couple other fun little gems in there, and then we're turning around and we're doing something almost right away again for Clash of Kings, so that'll be,
right.
You'll have stuff there as well, but if anyone is into graphic design, or you're an artist, or what have you, and you think you can help us, we would love for you to reach out to us and send us a sample of your work or what have you, to send it to BTKcast, because we're always looking for somebody to help us out with some designs on t-shirts. I mean, we do a little bit. We dabble. Sir Matt and I dabble a little bit in, you know, word art and things like that. But yeah, we could really, you know, we need a replacement for our artist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So.
All right, but anyways, there's that. That'll be coming out here in early September, so you guys will be fine there, and then we'll continue to move on. And I think we'll have another update here soon on Raven's Nest coming up. We've got literally a crap ton of ravens. Like, there's just raven shit everywhere. Okay, it's great. So we're gonna go in the Raven's Nest, and we're literally gonna sort through it and see what we can find. So stay tuned. We'll get that up and going. Been crazy start to the school year, but we are
We're ready. Oh, hey, Sarah Conley in here making some sick meals in the group, too. Some people have been posting some food in here. That's cool. So, all right, my friend, I think it's time to head over to the old Maester study here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Magor's Holdfast.
Yeah, and this is pretty straightforward. It's a real simple one. With this chapter, I was trying to find some historical tidbits, and maybe one will come up in the chapter as we're reading, and I can... We can tease some of that out a little bit more, but Magor's Holdfast is where Sansa is being held. It's this fortress inside of a fortress, right? Magor the Cruel built it, and it really is a place where it's a strong place inside of the Red Keep. The only way to get to it, you know, you see it in the TV show, and there's a really good shot of it when Eddard, I think, is leaving with Renly. Or let's see. Yeah, he's going to see Robert when Robert is sick, and there's that drawbridge, right?
Because
There's only one way in and out of Magor's Holdfast, so that's kind of neat. It's it lies behind walls 12 feet thick. It's got a dry moat lined with a bunch of iron spikes surrounding it. It's got a drawbridge spanning the moat. The only way in or out is across this drawbridge. So there's always a Kingsguard is posted there just to kind of keep watch. The royal apartments are located in Magor's Holdfast. So right now Sansa is being held there up in the tower and in an apartment. The king's bedchamber is there with massive fireplaces. You've got the queen's ballroom there as well. It's smaller than what you have in the Great Hall and the Red Keep, but still can house about 100 people. So it's a massive... Sort of like a more intimate spot for some of the
it's
royals.
Where in the show you see it mostly. It's the map, the big room with the map.
Yeah,
is also part of it.
Okay, okay, cool. So there's that. The where I remember it just most is King Robert dying there. Mm-hmm. And then Eddard coming to see him, and then talking to Renly on his way out. So just for point of reference, it's a huge. It's not just. There's tons of little apartments and stuff up in there. Let's see. There's some history to it, but there's really not a whole lot. I mean, during the Dance of Dragons, Rhaenyra, when they're trying to infiltrate Magor's Holdfast, Cheese, who was one of the informants who worked his way in there to help or was trying to help kidnap some of the Targaryens, knew of only one way in or out. So that's sort of, this is someone who was well-versed in the secret passageways and stuff and still only knew of one way in or out. You know, the people who, if there is another way in or out of there, they were all killed by Magor, right? I mean, he killed everybody who was in charge of all the masons and the engineers, if you will, who helped create it. But yeah, that's basically it. That's it. There's not much to it. A lot happens. There's a... It's referenced in a Game of Thrones, Clash of Kings, Storm of Swords, and a Dance of Dragons. So you'll see different times where people are kind of held up there in the Queen's Ballroom for the Battle of the Blackwater. So that takes place. Tyrion moves in and out of there, and Sir Kevin is also associated with it as well. So, alrighty, I think that's it. Real quick, short and sweet today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's head on to the reread. Last week, we were in Bran 7. It's where Bran and Rickon were having the same dreams about their father in the Crypts of Winterfell. They head down to the Crypts, and Maester Luwin gets bit by Shaggy Dog. They go back to the tower and discover the news of Ned Stark's death. Mm. So this week, we're in Sansa 6. The last time we were with her, she was attending Joffrey's first court session as king. After the official call for the noble houses to pledge their fealty, the small council announces a number of few appointments when he is dismissed, when Barristan Selmy is dismissed from the Kingsguard. In his place, the Hound is placed as an appointed to the Kingsguard. Sansa comes forward to ask for mercy for her father, and it is agreed that mercy will be granted if he confesses and names Joffrey King. So this time, Sansa 6. Sansa is in a depression after the execution of her father. Well, I guess that didn't go very well. Mm. Joffrey arrives, to to browbeat her into attending him into court. After court, Joffrey takes her to the ramparts to see the heads of her father and household. For a fleeting moment, Sansa has the opportunity to push Joffrey to the wall, but it disappears too soon.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Poor Sansa in this chapter, and just in general, you know, moving forward. She thought she was doing what she thinks she's doing well, and again, we're talking about a child here who doesn't know what to do in this situation. Didn't know what to do when her father was down in the black cells, and thought she was helping him, but she's dealing with a monster. And that's one thing that she realizes this chapter, right? Is that Joffrey is just not who she thought he was. He's not that prince that she you know wants him to be. So,
not at all. So. In the Tower of the Heart of Maegor's Holdfast, Sansa gave herself to the darkness. She drew the curtains around her bed, slept, woke, weeping, and slept again. When she could not sleep, she lay under her blankets, shivering with grief. Servants came and went, bringing meals, but the sight of food was more than she could bear. The dishes piled up on the table beneath her window, untouched and spoiling until the servants took them away again. Sometimes her sleep was laden and dreamless as she woke from it more tired than when she had closed her eyes. Those were the best times, for when she dreamed of father.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, poor thing. I mean, so she's hoping for dreamless nights. She just kind of keeps seeing this image of Sir Ilyn Payne striding forward and taking out ice. And I think that's just, man, the insult there in it being ice is crazy, right? But the one thing she can't get out of her mind is I'm sure she was just, you know, she's screaming, right? And then she's hysterical as it's happening. But then once it happens, I think you just, the shock takes over, and what she saw, she wasn't right. Looking, obviously, at the actual sword come down. It looks like she remembers just, you know, his legs. The way he writes this is like the jerking of his legs. That's what stood out to her. And she just can't shake that image, from her mind.
Yeah. You know, and the difference, it's something I've thought about, the difference of Sansa and Arya in those moments is Arya is so far away, and Arya, you know, grabs her sword and tries to cut through.
Yeah.
But Sansa is standing right next to them when it happens. And yep. It's almost like she's, you know, she's in a position where she's helpless. There's nothing really she could do. And mm-hmm. It's not really something that she ever brings up. Like, it's not nothing her character. As far as I can remember, I don't think it's anything she ever really says about herself or something. But, you know, yep. I'm sure that is like an emotion that you could certainly see her having of this, like, I was right there and there's nothing I could do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being even closer in proximity and thinking, I agree with you. She's probably racking her mind around the idea of like, could I have rushed forward? Could I have tried to cling to Joffrey and beg him more? I mean, it was just, I mean, the thing she did do was scream in hysteria and just in disbelief. And, but the order was made, and I mean, even like they said, right? I mean, there's such chaos and confusion, and Sir Ilyn moves so quickly. It's like he's not waiting around for anybody to countermand that. He's on it. He's doing his duty. Because Cersei's running around, Varys is looking around, like Peter Baelish. They're all like, "What the? Hold on here. This is nuts. This is not what we talked about." But then, you know, Joffrey describes in this chapter that he did grant him mercy. This was a type of mercy that he was giving to her father. That it could have been worse, which is sick. I mean, just right. Just in of itself.
Right.
So, but anyways, so she goes on, you can tell this is she hasn't ate, the food is spoiling, she's losing it, right? She keeps hearing or having these like dreams, I guess, of Sir Ilyn walking up to her chambers, and she's thinking, so mm-hmm. perhaps I'll die too. Like, why are they keeping me up here? She doesn't really know. That's going to be nerve-wracking, just to be left alone and not being told anything. And actually, right. What's interesting, they don't say it in this chapter, but we know why. One of the reasons why they left her up here is they were dealing with their own news. Cersei was dealing with her own grief.
Right.
Because, right, of what's happening to her brother. We don't. That's a
yeah, he's
subtle
been captured.
Mention. Right, exactly. So, Yeah. But good golly. So no one had been coming in or out. Remember last time too, we were she was wondering about Jane Poole. She doesn't even have a friend like that to comfort her or to be upset with, right? I mean, that's who she didn't like. Jane Poole was hysterical because of her father being dead and gone. And Sansa just didn't quite get it. Like, pull yourself together. Like, it's okay. And now look at where she's at. It's just...
Yeah, in the same exact same situation.
Yeah. So, okay, so here we go. We talked about the dream a little bit. It was Cyril in pain. She knew coming for her with ice in hand. She woke murmuring, please, please, I'll be good, please don't. But there was no one to hear. When they finally came for her in truth, Sansa never heard their footsteps. It was Joffrey who opened the door, not Sir Ilyn, but the boy who had been her prince. She was in bed, curled up tight, her curtains drawn, and she could not have said if it was noon or midnight. The first thing she heard was the slam of the door. Then her bed hangings were yanked back, and she threw up a hand against a sudden light and saw them standing over her. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting, right? There's that their head interrupted the interrupted her sleep, come in, and were... her sleep. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. And then, you know, you will attend me in court this afternoon, Joffrey said. See that you bathe and dress as befits my betrothed. Sandor Clegane stood at his shoulder in a plain brown doublet and green mantle, his burned face hideous in the morning light. Behind him, there were two knights of the Kingsguard in long white satin cloaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Sansa draws up her blanket to her chin to cover her up. No, she whimpered, please leave me be. If you won't rise and dress yourself, my hound will do it for you, Joffrey said. I beg of you, my prince. I'm king now. Dog, get her out of bed. It's like, whoo, man, you know, things have turned. And, you know, it's like, other than grieving for her father, what did she do differently? She asked you to grant him mercy. You said you would. So what other thing has she done to upset you? You know, I mean, I know it's just Joffrey being a dick because that's who he is. But, you know, he even starts to go a little more off the deep end here. Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah, why is he so irritable and what really did turn him into this monster? I mean, why is he like this? Why does he get off to this treatment of people? It just doesn't. Yeah. I mean, like she's about to go down and attend sort of another one of his day in the court or day in the hall there where people are bringing grievances to him, and we know that he only picks up one out of every 10, and it's normally the one that involves getting Cyril in pain to cut somebody's something off, which is nuts.
Well, I think if you think about Joffrey's upbringing, you have Cersei on one hand, and we see this a little bit more in the show when she's stitching up his wounds, and she's like, you know, you fought a beast, you know. He's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter what you actually did. You'll be able to do whatever you want when you become king. Well, you know, for a young kid, hearing that you're going to be able to do whatever you want and you're going to be so great and you're going to be all of these things. And then his father figure, you know, is Robert Baratheon, who is just doing whatever the hell he wants because he's king. He's just sleeping around and drinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he starts engaging in, like, you know, things that you want to do when you're a kid, which is fighting people, you know, pretending to, you know, I want a sword fight. I want to be a knight. I'm the best and all of this stuff. And then you're thrown into this position of king. I mean, I think it's, you know, that's how you can kind of, that's at least what I look at is probably, oh, that's kind of his upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, something too, about Sansa is that she doesn't understand him or his nature. She's just a young girl, right? Sandor actually tries to help her out. The Hound is trying to teach her that just speak your words, be the little bird, like speak your pretty words. It's going to play the game, right, if you will, but she just doesn't get it yet. Cause she starts off, I mean, she forgets, she calls him, my Lord. You know, she refers to him as her prince. And he's like, I'm king. It's your grace, you know. So he's sort of demanding this extra respect. And also I think it's he should have a regent. We've talked about that before, right? He really should not be in charge here. His mother can't control him in a sense. He's unruly, and it's something that Tywin will have to deal with later on.
Yeah, Tywin does a pretty quick job about dealing with it.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, what's the line? If you have to tell everybody that you're king, you know, you're not
you're no king. Anyone who tells everyone that you're a king is no true king.
Right. Yeah. So, so as she's getting dressed here, she's kind of arguing with Joffrey and it's
She backed away from him. I did as the queen asked. I wrote the letters. I wrote what she told me. You promise you'd be merciful. Please let me go home. I won't do any treason. I'll be good. I swear it. I don't have the traitor's blood. I don't. I only want to go home. Remembering her courtesies, she lowers her head. So even in that situation, you know, she's still, as it please you. It's like, it does not please me. Mother says I'm still to marry you, so you'll stay here and you'll obey. I don't want to marry you. You chopped off my father's head. He was a traitor. I never promised to spare him, only that I'd be merciful, and I was. If he hadn't been your father, I would have had him torn or flayed, but I gave him a clean death.
Yeah. Yeah, so there it is. I mean, he is merciful. King Joffrey, never forget it. The merciful. I think we should start calling him.
Oh, God.
Jesus. But he has she continues to be defiant and says that she hates him and whispers that under her breath and Ser Meron here. What do you think would have happened? I was thinking about this. Ser Meron ends up being the one who backhands her, strikes her. And Joffrey said that, you know, his mother, that's not something a king should do. And that's obviously, it goes back to maybe her being struck by Robert. So Ser Meron does it. What if he would have commanded Sandor to do it? The dog? The hound?
I think he would have done it.
You think he would have done it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. It does mention here somewhere, I can't remember where it was at, but it struck me that like when he picks her up later on and he actually pulls her out of bed, and kind of, he doesn't roughly push her around. It was, okay, here we go. Let's see. Ser Meron and, Ser Aerys followed him out, but Sandor lingered long enough to yank her roughly to her feet. Save yourself some pain, girl, and give him what he wants. What does he want? Please tell me. He wants you to smile, smell sweet, be his lady love, the hound rasped. He wants to hear you recite all your pretty little words and the way that the Septa taught you. He wants you to love him and fear him. Somewhere here it says that like the way in which he sort of handles her is rough, but yet kind of also gentle. And maybe it'll pop out here, but it's just a nod that the Hound is sort of taking care with her, and he could be more rough and stuff, but he's not, and it's something she notices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then she, you know, starts to get cleaned up here. I need hot water for my bath, please, she told him, and perfume, some powder to hide this bruise. The right side of her face was swollen, beginning to ache, but she knew Joffrey would want her beautiful. The hot water made her think of Winterfell. Yeah, you know, you get that warm spring there.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is odd. Right. you know, we're thinking of hot water up in Winterfell. What? This is kind of a contrast, which is still something that's never. Why? Why is it warm there? Why? What's just a hot spring? I don't know. Whatever. They get her all cleaned up. She's ready to go. She's dressed and she's ready to head downstairs. She's trying to settle her stomach with the old buttermilk and sweet biscuits. So any of you out there who have, those tummy issues, check out the buttermilk and the biscuits, all right? According to Sansa, can settle your stomach. I'm no maester or anything, but it's just going off of experiences here.
I don't know, man. We made that sweet milk. Do you think that would have helped your stomach?
No, actually, I don't. So now that you're... No. That was sweet milk. I don't know. That was too much. It was a little too...
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, buttermilk, I don't know if that's different, but yeah. Okay. So that eventually he's, you know, she's called to kind of follow, and she's talking again to Sir Marin, and she realizes that basically he doesn't care one way or another. He is not looking at the bruise that he left. He's not looking to strike her. He's not looking for. He's not going out of his way to hit her. He's just obeying a command, and he doesn't care one way or another. He doesn't care what she says about him. None of that stuff, because she's asking, what if I refuse? And then he just says, you know, are you refusing? He has his orders, I guess. So although I don't like him, and she calls him, you know, she says that you're not a true knight. So, you know, and she thought that Sandor would have laughed at that. Sansa knew other men might have cursed her, warned her to keep silent, even begged for forgiveness. Sir Marin did none of these. Sir Marin simply did not care. So there you go. He's a real piece of work. Great guy for the Kingsguard. For Joffrey's Kingsguard, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's perfect for that. Yeah, you know, she's like, and then I shall do whatever his grace commands. You know, that's, you know, she's remembering what the Hound tells her.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then she says, yes, but you are no true knight, Sir Marin. He says, as do I. Yes, but you are no true knight, Sir Marin. Although he actually is it. He is actually a knight, but.
Yeah, isn't it funny that.
Whereas the Hound actually isn't a knight.
Right, right.
And we've talked about that, because later when he gets put in the King's. Well, he is in the King's Guard now. Does that automatically make you a knight?
Yeah, I don't know. That was interesting. I don't quite. Get that? I think I don't know. Because was that in the show or is it in the book where he says he won't swear any words? He says that he won't.
It's in the books. It's in the books.
Yeah. So how can you, if you don't make the, you know, if you don't go through the ritual or the ceremony?
Well, I mean,
yeah. Anyways, but as she eventually heads down and she kind of gets to watch some of the day in day out stuff here, Joffrey. Proceeding over various things, and you've got Lord Baelish there, Pycelle's there, Queen Cersei. They're kind of handling the more mundane, boring, I guess, in Joffrey's mind, those boring matters, or maybe matters of finance, or who knows what. But if it came to like a thief, right? He has Sir Ilyn chop off his hands right there in court. Doesn't even take him out side or anywhere else. It's almost like he wants to see it. You had some, you know, two knights showed up with a dispute about some land, and he decrees that they're to duel to the death. You know, it's like, I don't know that they wanted that or that that's what they came for.
Clearly not. They could have done that on their own.
Yeah, exactly. So they could have done that on their own, but yet he's putting them in this position that's ridiculous. And then what are you supposed to do? Refuse, you know, your king's orders? I don't know.
Then you both die.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So then you got this whole thing with traitors. It's just nuts, right? So you had this woman who shows up and who wanted to bury one of the heads of the traitors because she loved that individual. Who is that? I was like, who is she talking about? Is it just someone in Eddard Stark's like garrison or something, or why it was this someone local to King's Landing that had met, that had fallen in love? Like, what's the story there?
If you love the traitor, then you must be a traitor too. And two gold cloaks drag her off to the dungeons.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that makes you think, like, wow, there's a story in a story right there of how they met and how upset she was, and she came and was pleading just to bury him properly. That's really all she wanted. So there's a mention of Lord Slint here as well. He's the captain of the Gold Cloaks. What a ridiculous! I mean, she remembers him as being the guy who presses her father, you know, down for Sir Ilyn Payne. And knowing what we know in the show, it's just great to see how things sort of work out, you know, with that guy. Hopefully, that's how the turntables. How the turntables. That's right. So, but yeah. She's remembering too, you know, the advice that Baelish had given her, and that the monsters sometimes win, and that
there are There are no heroes, as she remembered what Lord Peter had said to her here in this very hall. Life is not a song, sweetling, he told her. You may learn that one day to your sorrow. In life, the monsters win, she told herself, and now it was the hound's voice she heard, a cold rasp, metal on stone. Save yourself some pain, girl, and give him what he wants.
Yep. So, I mean, it's looking kind of dreary. There's nothing that she's always lived in her, I think in her mind, like of these songs and daydreamed about, this high fantasy type of thing. It's her perception is just what she's heard in songs and these great stories. Real life sucks. And this is not what she expected. So, next we have the plump tavern singer, right, who was making the ridiculous, making up songs about King Joffrey, and there's this subtle kind of tie to maybe Cersei being the one who, I'm sorry, King Robert, who was making this subtle nod to the fact that maybe Cersei had something to do with his death or was the pig slash boar who killed him.
Right. And you see this in the show. This is in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, and then he gives him the choice. He had to keep either his fingers or his tongue. Which one would you pick?
Is he taking all of his fingers?
I think he's taking all of them.
I know it's gonna sound crazy. I'd probably say take the tongue.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in today's world.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I'm thinking about these times.
During Game of Thrones time?
If I'm the singer.
So, yeah.
Even though that's his only occupation.
I'd probably keep my tongue. I don't know. I'd probably keep my tongue.
Yeah, because he could still sing, right? He doesn't have to play the instrument, for sure.
In today's world, I would definitely keep my tongue. Prosthetics are, you know, moving along so fast. Hey, I could get some sweet.
Yeah. You know, right, right, fingers. Right.
So, or you could get rid of your tongue and you could still tweet. So that's something to think about too.
Wow, yeah, you could blog. You could become a writer.
You could blog. But back
you
in those
the
times,
Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I got to say though, you know, Joffrey is the merciful. Don't forget that. He gives him a full day to kind of consider. Right? He gives him time. He gives him time to kind of consider which one he wants to choose. All right. Now, all that's kind of over, and Sansa thinks she's just going to slip out. She's relieved, but boom, Joffrey is there waiting with the Hound and Ser Meron. This is just sort of a torture trip. It wants to just make her, I don't know, he wants to see her squirm. He wants to see her in pain and things. He wants to
feel in charge.
Yeah, he's an evil dude. So he takes her to see her father's head.
Yeah.
You know, on a spike.
Walk with me, Joffrey commanded, offering her his arm. She had no choice but to take it. The touch of his hand, which would have thrilled her once, now made her flesh crawl. My name day will be here soon, Joffrey said as they slipped out of the rear of the throne room. There will be a great feast and gifts. What are you going to give me? I had no thought, my lord. Your grace, he said sharply. You truly are a stupid girl, aren't you? My mother says so. She does. It's like, sheesh.
Yeah, they're just toying with her. I mean, she even admits that she why does that still hurt? You know, because she wanted so badly to be accepted by this family and to be queen and all these different things. And it just, even though Joffrey's evil, it's sort of like you're holding out for his mother, that she's going to be better or that she'll, that she can help her in some way. She's just helpless sort of right now. And it's sad. So yeah, now she gets some advice from the Hound though. She keeps thinking back to what he said, to just repeating those words that she's been taught, and kind of steps up and does start calling him your grace. And things. So then she realizes though where they're headed, and gets real upset, realizing that she's going to see her father and his head, and she's like, I won't. Ser Meron could have dragged her up there. Sandor kind of says, do it, you know,
pushing her back towards the king. His mouth twitched on the burn side of his face, and Sansa could almost hear the rest of it. He'll have you up there no matter what, so give him what he wants. And that's really him trying to push her into this whole play the Game of Thrones, you know, play
right.
along.
Be submissive right now because, you know.
Yeah, win the war, not the battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyways, up they go, right? Up to the battlements there, up to the gatehouse, and move on through. There's a reference here to the Great Sept of Baelor on Visenya's Hill, where her father had died. So that's you can kind of see that. You can see the dragon pit, the fire-burned ruins of the dragon pit is there. You can see that. They're pretty high. To the west, you've got Red Sun was hidden behind the Gate of the Gods. The salt sea was at her back, and to the south was the fish market and the docks of the swirling torrent of the Blackwater Rush. And to the north, and this is where she starts to kind of almost like see through things, if you will. She lets her mind drift to the north and these distant hills and just reminiscing, I guess, about Winterfell, as if she can see on and on and on and on further and further north. And it really is what helps her kind of see through these heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when she's forced to look at her father's face and his head, she doesn't really have to see it. She can see through it, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, this one is your father's, he said. This one here, dog, turn it around so she can see. Sandor Clegane took the head by the hair and turned it. The severed head had been dipped in tar to preserve it longer. Sansa looked at it calmly, not seeing it at all. It did not really look like Lord Eddard, she thought. It did not even look real. And real is in italics, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it real? so, here's a question. If you're beheaded, can you be brought back by, like, Melisandre and stuff? Or, like, you know what I mean? Is there any, are there rules on that? If you lose an arm or something? Like,
isn't the mountain headless?
What do you mean?
Don't they cut his head off?
Well, I mean, like, you know how Beric Dondarrion is, like, cut, you know.
Qyburn brings it back, so, I mean, and that's through science, so I'm sure magic, you know, magic could do it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you come back, if you would have, your, I don't know, you know, because Lady Stoneheart, right? Her throat is slit down to the bone, and she comes back, and I don't know. I'm just wondering if Eddard is brought back, is it to the point where he's brought back, but you got to put his head back on it? Sorry, this is kind of weird, but it's like
no, I don't think it would work because you know Beric Dondarrion dies a handful of times, so I think you get brought back, but it's not like you know you're 100% again.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you lose your head, you can't be brought back. That's what I'm thinking. So there's rules to it. Anyways. Yeah, he's a little, he moves her, on. They'll keep looking at these different, heads that are up there. Eventually they come across her, Septa Mordain, that they look at her. And again, it looks nothing like her. They talk about the birds kind of eating some of the head and the jaw rotting out and stuff. It's crazy.
And she questions it too. You know, why did you kill her? She asks. She was godsworn. She was a traitor. Joffrey, you know, look, poultry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, he's upset that he would be asked that. It's almost like a lot of stuff was done just out of bitterness and hate. I mean, there really is no reason to kill her. She is godsworn, so you could have kept her. You could have sent her on to another task or what have you, back to her order and stuff. I mean, there was no. We overlook that, but I mean. That's not a good thing. That's a crime. I mean, that is not cool. So, yeah. Now they find a couple spots right where there's some empty spots for his uncles. First of all, he talks about Stannis and Renly, and how he's gonna eventually have room for them. They're out and about. He kind of talks about his mother not wanting him to take this host out and, you know, ride out to meet them in war. But he's going to, you know, Joffrey's going to gather a host, which is such a joke.
It's such a joke.
So, man, I so wish that, like, there would have been some little confrontation between him and Rob, and you could have just seen him.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, your brother's a traitor, too. You know, he turned to Seth Mordane's head. I remember your brother from Winterfell. My dog called him the Lord of the Wooden Sword, didn't he? Did I? The hound replied, I don't call. Your brother defeated my Uncle Jaime, but my mother says it was treachery and deceit. She wept, and when she heard, women are all weak, even her, though she pretends she isn't. She says we will need to stay in King's Landing in case my other uncle attacks, but I don't care. My name day feast, I'm going to raise a host and kill your brother. Yeah. Maybe my brother will give me your head.
Right. So they talk about the exchanging of gifts there, and he doesn't expect that. So this is where Ser Meron kind of backhands her twice, right, and splits her lip, and there's blood running down. But she remembers, right, that he just wants to see her smiling and pretty. And he says that, you know, you're prettier when you smile. So she does. She's got blood and a split lip, though. She probably looks ridiculous. And he kind of scorns.
But go Sansa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll bring me your head, actually. And you know what? I mean, if all this other magical crap wouldn't have taken place, the phrase, man. God, those phrase, I swear, dude, they're irritating as all get out. Like, I don't know. They're like a bunch of flies. They tick me off, you know. They're hard to kill. They're everywhere, and they really screwed up the Starks.
Yeah, so. It's like sand. It's coarse. It's rough.
It right, and they're getting everywhere.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah. To end this, really, right? Yeah, she struck a few times, and this is where.
But then right here is where she really thinks about doing. You know, the outer parapet came up to her chin, but along the inner edge of the wall was nothing but a long plunge to the Bailey 70 or 80 feet below. All it would take was a shove, she told herself. He was standing right there, smirking at her with those fat worm lips. You could do it, she told herself. You could. Do it right now. It wouldn't even matter if she went over with him. It wouldn't matter at all. And then, the hound immediately kind of sees it and steps in. Hey, here, girl. He just kind of stands in between him. And so he, wipes the blood off her lip.
Right. With a delicacy, right?
Right. With a delicacy. Yeah. And, she lowers her head and says, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. She's a good girl who always remembers her courtesies. I mean, and so this is the start to this badass Sansa that we're going to get, who's going to rule the world. She is learning here, learning things the hard way, but she is learning, taking her first lessons from the Hound. So, yeah. All right. Well, cool. Let's dive in here. I think we've got, pretty straightforward chapter. Good chapter. It's not a Daenerys chapter, so we're good. Oh, wait, that's next week.
Wow.
Okay, one more to get through here.
No, there's two more Daenerys chapters.
Oh, you're kidding me. You're killing me right now.
She's the final chapter.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's the final Sansa chapter. That's what that is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
But,
all right.
But this... Once you get to Clash of Kings, the Daenerys chapters really improve.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree with you. I'm ready to get there. So, all right, let's see. Let's move on here.
Another one here from Christopher Wallace. What's up, Sir Ezra and Sir Matt? Sir Chris here. Just wanted to share a theory about Rhaegar Targaryen. I have not heard. I've not heard yet. Probably because it's pretty far fetched. We know that Rhaegar was able to make people cry by singing to them, both from the books and from the show. In Bran 7, Bran says the old Nan referred to the children of the forest as making anyone who heard them sing cry also. What if Bloodraven / the Three-Eyed Crow and the children of the forest used Rhaegar to produce Jon Snow or the prince that was promised? This would explain more about why Rhaegar married Lyanna, because he had been guided by the children to produce an heir of ice and fire that would eventually destroy the others. In the books, we see the possibility of the children or Three-Eyed Crow bringing the direwolves south of the wall and influence Jon to go back for Ghost. Bran says Jon heard something no one else did. In the show, we see Bloodraven take Bran back to previous events and even affect what happens as the case with Hodor. Though that was a cool concept. Hope you all like it. Appreciate the podcast.
Okay. So there is something here that made me kind of think about Leif and the children, and when they talk about their wandering of Westeros, and how it seems like they've actually been south of the wall and had some experience kind of in the world. So that could be, I don't know. I mean, like the children maybe connecting with him in some way, if they're connected to, a Targaryen already, they're connected with Bloodraven. So perhaps they see something similar, in Rhaegar, and yeah, maybe they do kind of plant a seed, right, to, for some of the events at Harrenhal. What do you think?
Well, you know, there's definitely that. You know, that moment you and I always refer to, the one day Rhaegar was reading and then suddenly something happened and then he decides he wants to start fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be it. Yeah, maybe that's the influence there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the books, we still don't know if it's like the children / the Weirwoods that control the Three-Eyed Raven or Three-Eyed Crow. And that could still be the case. And so that would certainly add some validity to this idea here, is that it's really the children who kind of control the Three-Eyed Raven, and thus maybe that gives them that extended green sight and, you know, a Three-Eyed Raven kind of power to be able to influence other people around the world that aren't just right in front of them.
Yeah. So, back to what Sir Chris was saying. Yeah. Bloodraven, Three-Eyed Crow, Children of the Forest used Rhaegar to produce Jon, or the prince that was promised. Now, So, and we had talked about this a little bit in our Patreon episode, right? That we didn't know. We knew that going into the tourney at Harrenhal, Elia is, like, good, can still have another a child. Like, we're thinking, like, nothing's wrong there. But if he did have some foresight, and if he knew that this was going to happen, he was waiting for signs. You know, he's like, kind of been privy to a dragon dream or a green dream, if you will, and he sees something that triggers, you know, he sees the Night of the Laughing Tree, he sees the Weirwood on the shield, and it's something that he's seen before, an image, and boom, this switch is flipped, and then he knows that a plan needs to go into action, and that could have been something that's subconsciously planted there by the children, and they could have used, again, as you said, Bloodraven to do so. I like it. We really don't know. And remember, we answered, like, so we've been asking the question, like, what happened at Harrenhal? Why did these things happen? How did this all get kicked off? That we may get that answer. That this may be, we're hoping, because the show didn't give it to us, right? So we're wondering.
No, unfortunately not.
Right. We're wondering if the children and Bloodraven. And I say / the last green seer, not the Three-Eyed Crow. I think I've settled in my mind where I stand on that. I think it's definitely a possibility, and I that would make sense, I guess. I mean, because I don't know why, if there's not some other magic or dreamlike prophecy or something, or there's not some, as we're discussing in the Patreon series, something political, I don't know what causes Rhaegar to go after Lyanna and want to marry her, if it's not something that's a premonition or something to do with prophecy, or he's thankful because she tipped him off about the Southern ambition, you know, conspiracy. So yeah, Sir Chris, I think you're onto something there.
Yeah. And we'll get, you know, something we'll still need a little bit more info in when we get Winds of Winter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what. Well, I mean, every Bran chapter, right? We're going to be looking at that.
Right.
We don't know what happens to the Reed children. We're worried about them. I mean, Hodor is off doing. He's using Hodor way more than he should, jumping into his skin and things. So those chapters will be very interesting. Cannot wait to get the next brand, you know, POV. So, but all right, yeah, thanks, Sir Chris. If anyone has any other thoughts on that or thinks that there's can answer the question as to why Rhaegar does what he does with Lyanna and leaving Elia and the tourney at Harrenhal, let us know. There's
well, we're going to be talking about it a little bit in our Patreon series next month.
We are, yeah. We'll be discussing. So actually, if you can get some Ravens into us before, you can go comment over on Patreon or even just on one of the threads in Facebook. We'll read those in our next Patreon episode because
this month is about him giving her the crown, and next month's is about, you know,
the abduction.
The abduction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. The air quote abduction.
Right. Yeah. So more on that. All righty.
All right. Well, Sir Ezra, I think it's time to kind of sign off here. We want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing Chapter 68, Daenerys 9.
Yeah, and that is not the last Daenerys chapter, just so you guys know. Okay. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com. We'll see you in a week, and remember, winter is coming.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.